Welcome to American Indian Living, a program developed by the Native Education and Health Initiative to improve and enhance the health of people throughout the Native communities. American Indian Living is hosted by Dr. David DeRose, a board-certified specialist in both internal medicine and preventive medicine. Dr. DeRose has a wide range of experience with Native health issues, and he's ready today to help you learn more about your health. Here's Dr. DeRose.
Welcome to American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. Today we're looking at a subject that has far-reaching health implications. It's important throughout Indian country. It's important in whatever segment of the population you find yourself in today. The subject has to do with something that is deeply rooted in Native American culture. In fact, indigenous peoples worldwide have valued physical activity, physical exercise. Today, the challenge is for many people, they look at physical activity options from a very contemporary mindset that sometimes suggests that you've got to spend a lot of money if you're going to be on a good exercise program. You've got to enroll in a health club. You've got to be in the best fitness center, have the best trainers. And frankly speaking, many people today are saying, look, I just don't have that kind of time and money. Well, today's show is really good news, trying to get back in touch with simple approaches to exercise that don't cost you an arm and a leg. Our guest today is someone who is just expertly qualified to speak on this subject. His name is Scott Sonnen. Scott, it's great to have you with us on today's show.
Oh, David, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Scott, you are someone who is not just reading books about fitness and trying to get a message out. You are someone who practices this message. Tell us a little bit about who you are and why our folks today are going to want to listen to as much of this show as they possibly can.
Well, David, my background was being born with a series of learning and physical disabilities. In particular, osteochondrosis basically meant that I couldn't do conventional exercises. It would shred my connective tissue since my tissues didn't adhere to my growth plates in a normal way. I grew too rapidly, and it wreaked havoc on my system. So my mother sent me on a path of looking for alternative methods for me to learn motor skills so that I could actually participate and deal with the obesity that I faced as a child. That led me to other countries and learning other modalities. Even because of my learning disabilities, learning arithmetic, learning mathematics through finger counting, through a Korean method called Chisenpop. All of these methods culminated when I learned total physical response, which was a way to tie physical movements to words. And when I was able to learn language through physical movement, then I started to sprout. That set me on a path. It took me around the world learning martial arts in Russia and learning alternative methods that allowed me to, on the shallow end of the gene pool, eventually become an international champion in two different styles of martial art, become a U.S. coach, and give me exposure to great minds that I was able to tap.
I mean, it's an exciting story, and, you know, as we deal with a diverse audience, some people, you know, as they're listening, are saying, boy, this is right up my alley, you know, I love martial arts, this is great. Other people are saying, you know, anything that's fighting or, you know, antagonistic, I mean, I shy away from that. The message today is not whether, you know, martial arts can be of benefit in someone's life, but the story is an exciting one because really you were dealing with a lot of the challenges that many, not only Native Americans are dealing with today, but many people from all walks of life. They have physical challenges, maybe mental, emotional challenges, can be just a function of where we are at in life, the situation we're in. Obesity, overweight, a huge challenge. And you're really a success story. You're someone who said, look, I've got these challenges. I'm not going to let them keep me down. And now you're out there teaching other people how to tap into really some simple techniques that can help, I mean, is it fair to say can help virtually anybody get more fit?
Well, absolutely. If you think about what people are facing now, most of us are facing accelerated aging. And it's primarily due to our seated lifestyle, because we're so sedentary. And it's not just the people who are inactive, because we're all specifically conditioned. We're all perfectly conditioned to do the thing that we do the most, whether that be hurting ourselves at the gym or hurting ourselves sitting on the couch. The point is how to regain our health. Unfortunately, like you mentioned at the beginning, we've monetized our health. We've made it into an industry, and that's why we tend to equate the expense of a highly certified personal trainer with how well we're doing with our fitness, when they're indirectly, if not connected at all. And like you said, when it comes to martial arts, I mean, people get a lot of negative connotations about it. When we deal with other cultures, you can't extract one segment of physical culture from the others. It's wrapped together. Dance, martial art, all of these are enrichment programs that have been culturally sustainable. So when I learn these alternative methods, health methods around the world, it's in being able to extract the particular movements that would be able to make my joints free again, to decompress them so that they can flush themselves with nutrition. This is the at-home, immediately accessible, easy-to-understand, easy-to-replicate movements that will allow us to regain our natural energy and be able to restore our connective tissue health. The muscles are just an ancillary thing. We first have to restore the health to our joints.
You know, this is a fascinating subject to be dealing with at this time in history. It was not long ago, Scott, as you well know, that people with arthritis were confined to bed. They were told, you know, activity is going to worsen your problem. And today, arthritis foundations, arthritis groups are all really pushing exercise therapy. And a lot of it boils down to exactly what you're talking about, getting freedom from pain, improving the health of the connective tissue, the cartilage, the cushioning structures in the joints. So really, I think your message is one that at least in professional circles is resonating. Do you find that lay people, as they hear your message, it's something they immediately warm up to, or are people a bit skeptical when you start talking about maybe a little bit different perspective, something that's not going to cost them an arm and a leg? Are they thinking, well, there's got to be some hook here?
I believe that in my experience, that I've found resistance on both ends, both from the professional community and from the public. But I've found that depending upon the group, they embrace it very quickly. Unfortunately, in the media, you know, we read magazines, we watch television, we watch reality shows, and we get fed a very small morsel, a very, very blinded perspective of what the truth is. And it's all appearance-oriented, where our physique is the last thing that should be our concern. We should look fantastic because we feel fantastic. Unfortunately, you know, I deal with all levels of athletes. I'm actually the MC for the world's largest fitness expo, the Arnold Schwarzenegger Fitness Classic, which is in Columbus, Ohio. And there are a litany of injuries in the bodybuilding industry. It's become a perversion, because of the focus on the muscles are actually deteriorating connective tissue strength. Mm-hmm. So when we actually have to focus on our health, we have to restore a very intuitive approach. Well, if that doesn't feel good, so I shouldn't be doing it. When we have an appearance-driven fitness, we'll do everything possible, including hurting ourselves, to achieve what is in the reflection of a mirror to be something that looks like health, but it is only the appearance of health and not the presence of it.
This is an exciting message because, you know, many people tuning in today, they've gotten turned off by the whole fitness industry, I think, because of this emphasis on appearance. They won't go to a gym because of, you know, they don't feel they have the perfect body. And they're really depriving themselves of this very culturally ingrained belief that fitness, that exercise, that activity is part of health, at least in Native American communities. And like you mentioned, what's so fascinating to me about your whole dialogue is many educators who've looked at how many Native Americans learn best, they realize that it does involve interaction, movement, activity. And, you know, you think of some of the tribal traditions, you know, that really cut across individual tribal lines, you know, whether it's, you know, powwow, whether it's Native dance forms, whether it's running, which is, you know, kind of a cultural heritage in some tribes, whether it's just being physically active outdoors. I mean, your message, I think, is a powerful one for today's edition of American Indian Living.
David,
Scott, I think we've let... Go ahead.
That's exactly the point. And I just want to reinforce one comment, and that was that fitness is not something that we need to pursue. It's a byproduct of us having our natural energy. So the question isn't how to become fit. The question is how do we restore our natural energy, and that's where we should focus all of our efforts when we're restoring our health.
It's an exciting topic, and we want to really get into the meat of the subject, or maybe the beans if some vegetarians are listening today. But we really want to look at this material, and you've got a tremendous resource. And I'm going to just be upfront. I know a lot of my listeners, they talk with me from time to time, and some of them get disturbed by these scantily clad women that are in these exercise guides, and they've told me that. You don't have anything like that in your book, even though you've got, you know, many very helpful illustrations of at least one live subject.
No, they just have
you
to
tell
with
us.
Me.
Yeah, and it's. I'm looking at the book here. I mean, it's a very attractive book, Free to Move. Is this really pretty much encapsulate your whole philosophy that we've been talking about today?
Yeah, it is, David. It's how to regain awareness of the movements that will restore our joint health and release the energy that's basically locked in cold storage in our bodies. And if we understand the movements behind it, and it doesn't take very much for us to regain our intuition, but if we understand the movements that underpin what all humans want and crave to move, or what our nervous systems would like to do, they crave complexity. If we understand that, then that's what allows us to release that abundant energy. And, you know, we could have the best diet in the world, but if we're not moving each of our joints every day and throughout the day, it's not being shipped out to the tissues that need it, and we're literally being starved because of it.
And, you know, maybe I'll pause here, too. We have a variety of listeners from all different kind of cultural, philosophical perspectives, and so whenever we speak on a philosophical basis, people are always happier if I try to be very all-inclusive. And, you know, whenever we speak about energy, you know, energy flow, some of these things, different groups, some of them are just very excited about this. They immediately resonate with those concepts. Others say, well, you know, this is sounding too mystical.
Oh,
I would say for... Yeah.
I'm sorry, David. No, I wasn't referring to anything like Asian meridian lines or chi flow or Indian prana. Not that type of energy. I mean the energy that a four-year-old has when they really want to go outside and play ball with you, and they're so insistent. So that type of release of energy is what we're talking about. When we have our joints compressed, when we squeeze out the synovial fluid, when we squeeze out the ground substance around the bones, that is not just lubrication. It's not just shock absorption. It's actually nutrition. And without that presence, without that cavity, without the distance, we are slow. We're viscous. We're like walking through molasses. And that pain signal that interrupts our nervous system is what competes with our ability to be energetic, because pain comes first into our nervous system. So if we can restore the distance and restore the fluid body within the inner bag, within the inside of our periosteum, inside our joint capsule, that's what allows us to have that vibrant, want to go outside and play ball, Dad, right now. That's the energy we want. And then we'll find whatever it is that we want to be fit with. We don't have to search for the perfect program. We just recreate.
You know, let's really break this down, and that's where we're going in this show. For those of you who've been listening to Scott Sonnen and I speaking, with his background in exercise science and with me as a physician, I know we're throwing some terms around here that may be leaving some of you in a little bit of a daze, but we're going to make this very practical, make it very simple. Scott, as we're concluding this segment, our first segment of the show, we've been talking about cartilage, about the joint. We're going to be coming back to this in our next segment, speaking about this in some detail, and tell us just in a very succinct nutshell where we're going with this, why someone was going to stay tuned for this show.
Okay. If you're tired of trying to search for the program that will make you look good, start immediately now by feeling great. If you feel great, everything else will take care of itself. Those are the movements that you need to start with first, and fitness will just be a byproduct of you. taking care of all of your domestic duties and enjoying being with your family.
That, Scott, that's where we're going. We're coming back. More of Scott's Son, and I'm Dr. David DeRose. American Living, Indian Living is the show. Don't go away.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
Today's American Indian Living Radio program is sponsored in part by the Native Education and Health Initiative, also known as NAHI, a nonprofit organization established by Native Americans for Native Americans. In addition to sponsoring American Indian Living, NAHI produces a health publication and has initiated a series of programs to combat diabetes. Further information about NAHI is available at nahicharity.org. The Lifestyle Center of America is another American Indian Living sponsor. Located in South Central Oklahoma, the Lifestyle Center provides a variety of health services in Indian country, including residential diabetes treatment programs and their Wellspring DVD series, a prepackaged diabetes program suitable for home, workplace, or community center used by people of all races. Further information about the center is available at lifestylecenter.org or by phone at 1-800-596-5480.
Some important social statements by United States citizens today on policy.
To be a good American, you've got to like people, share things, and not scream at people. And you should also help them, and then you can share at them.
A statement on historical tradition and our form of government.
I love America because it got government full of people and full of people. For the people.
A statement on down-to-earth American idealism.
I like living in America because it means freedom. It means that you can do most stuff you want as long as it doesn't, like, hurt anybody and you have to work hard to keep it.
America, a statement in summary.
I love America because everybody's equal. And when you play with other kids and they dunk you, you can dunk them back.
You're listening to a pre-recorded broadcast of American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE, 1-800-775-4673. Here again is your host.
Welcome back to American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. Today we're looking at the subject of recession-proofing your workout. We're trying to move away from the idea that the only options you have for fitness are going to a local health club, buying a bunch of expensive equipment, often that just sits around in your house anyway. We're looking at really getting in touch with your body, getting on a better program that can help you really untap your potential physically, emotionally, mentally, even spiritually. All these things are related from a holistic standpoint. This is not news to many of you who are regular listeners to American Indian Living or who share just more of a holistic approach on life as Native Americans have championed for centuries. Scott Sonnen is my guest. Scott is the author of the book Free to Move with the Into Flow Longevity System. Scott, we've been throwing about a lot of medical terms, you're focusing a lot on really restoring joint health. Is that a correct interpretation of a lot of where you've devoted your energies?
Yes. When we talk about restoring joint health, we can medicalize the concept of it. It's really not. It's something very pedestrian. It's something that we can all do, and something we all need to do. If we just turn our sight inward for a second and do a check-in on our body, where the little aches and pains are, where we hurt right now. They're centered around signals that our body's giving us. Pain is, we tend to look at pain as an enemy, when it's our body's last-ditch intent to give us information. Fortunately, pain's last to arrive and first to leave. So once the pain's gone, we no longer pay attention. If we do a daily check-in on what our body feels like, what we're doing, that information is what gives us the ability to restore the health in our joints, and that will give us more energy, the more motivation to go outside or to do the things that are going on around our house, to want to go and recreate with our friends and family. These are the basis of natural fitness, of wanting to do the things that create fitness as a byproduct, rather than feeling like we have to go on a gerbil wheel at some high overpaid health club every day.
Mm-hmm. You know, as you're mentioning this, Scott, I'm just thinking, because you know, I'm someone who tends to localize a lot of stress and tension in my upper back and neck. And as you were saying that, I said, well, let me just take a moment here. I'm saying, oh yeah, I need to relax there. Is that part of what you're talking about, just kind of being aware of your body and taking inventory?
You know, David, inventory is just the cornerstone of everything, because what personal trainers aren't taught, and this is one of my efforts right now across the nation, what they're not taught is to understand that if you have that type of ache and pain, that pre-existing tension in your body, if you lift weights over it, if you exercise over it, it reinforces the tension, that structural distortion that happens. Where if your body's stooped over, if you have neck pain and you place a barbell on top of it, you're reinforcing, through just basic conditioning, the strengthening of that pain. It will become worse. So the first and foremost intent of our health is to restore mobility to that localized area and all of the adjacent joints. So if you, and neck pain is a major issue for everyone, because we're a seated culture. We tend to be seated culture, unfortunately, and we were not that way originally. And we read a lot. So we're a literary culture, and technology is getting smaller and smaller. The more that happens, the more the neck slides forward, the chin juts out,
right. And
places greater strain on the neck, the cervical vertebra. And that pulls up on the upper back, so we get mid-back pain. And as that starts to collapse forward, that's what we have to release the tension on, those high-stressed tension wires. So if we mobilize the neck, if we think of just jutting the chin even more forward, pulling the shoulders straight down, holding for just a few seconds to let the connective tissue relax and melt, and then inhaling, lifting the crown, the top of the spine, not the middle of the head, up toward the ceiling, tucking the chin in, creating a double and triple chin, and lifting that up to create traction, to separate the joints and create space in our neck. And doing that 5 to 10 repetitions, maybe at the top of every hour, if we do that right before a set of some type of exercise, we would actually not reinforce the tension and the potential damage to the our posture. And we would also be releasing the pain which is interrupting our ability to want to exercise.
So really, it sounds like the foundation of your approach to fitness is more on what a lot of people would say are stretching exercises. Is that a fair way to describe it?
Yes, but it's a step beyond stretching. Because the problem with stretching is, what I was taught when I was in school is really erroneous. We were taught, if you stretch, what you do is you get into a position, you hold it. And if you hold it and you struggle against it, then eventually the tissues will somehow get longer, as if that's something that's good. So here's the problem. If we just stretch and we struggle against the stretch, then what we're doing is the tissues resist against it, right? So we're stretching. We're trying our hardest, and the tissues strengthening against it become stronger. They become shorter. Unless we push so hard that we actually cause small tears in the tissue and permanently change their resting length. That's a huge problem. And it's a problem I deal with pro athletes quite a bit, because their joints have become loose and unstable. Because they've permanently changed the resting length of the tissues, it can't hold the joints compact. So when they go to change directions, they blow out their knees. In 2001, 40% of sidelining, career-ending knee injuries in the NFL were non-contact related. They were just from running and changing directions. Because in the gym, we're only taught to exercise in one or two planes. It's the rotational element that keeps the joint compact. So stretching is a potential danger, unless we do the stretch to go to the point where, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the worst pain we've ever felt, go to a 3, and at a 3, you exhale and relax. So it's uncomfortable, but not very uncomfortable. and you exhale into it. If you can't exhale, if you have to inhale and brace your breath, you're too deep into the stretch. You back off until you can exhale into it, and that allows the fascia tissue to melt, to relax. So the connective tissue does relax, and that's releasing tension, which is different than distorting the tearing and changing the resting length.
Well, I mean, that's a fascinating concept. So really what you're telling me is a lot of those stretches that I was taught to do when I was running in college, you know, that was, you know, quite painful, were actually potentially harmful to me.
It's amazing how much physical therapy has tried to broach the gap between exercise and therapy, because the knowledge has been split. Personal trainers need to become more accountable for their understanding, because we're not taught sufficient amount of information in anatomy and physiology. It's just it's a very rudimentary understanding. Yes, I deal with a lot of dancers, for instance. You would think that dancers are very flexible, and as a result, flexibility should equal health. It doesn't. Their joints are garbage. If they bump into things or fall down, will be facing hospitalization, because their joints have no stability anymore. And this is not. I don't mean to scare anyone. Don't worry about your stretching. You can, if you want to do stretches, that's great. Just back off on the resting length. Don't go so deep into it. Don't struggle against it. If you can exhale through it, you're doing a good job. Just don't hold it for so long. Don't try and struggle against it, and make sure that you're using a pain barometer of 3 on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the worst pain you've ever felt.
So, Scott, let's continue to make this practical. I mean, people, I think, are getting this message. There's a danger to overstretching, but what should they do? I mean, you mentioned, I think, some practical techniques with the neck and upper back. Granted, this is a very visual science. It would be nice for us to be able to all have your book Free to Move in front of us as you're talking, but unfortunately that's not possible.
It's moving the joints that's important. Mobility is life. If we're not moving, we're dying. And we can very much define life as the ability to move. So if you look at a stretch is held to 1 degree. It's held in 1 range of motion, but that's only a snapshot of life. So really, how many stretches can you do in a circle? An infinite amount. Each joint should be moved every day in that circle. So if you look at your body as a series of balls stacked upon one another, rather than a series of levers, the levers is the old way of looking at it. Well, you have a fulcrum, you have a hinge. That's a very, very gross way of understanding human anatomy. We're basically an anti-gravitational balancing act, like a circus, of all of these balls stacked on top of one another. We should move each one of those balls around in a circle, 5 to 10 repetitions, at least every morning, so that we don't become a tin man. We should do it throughout the day. Whenever we feel those little aches and pains and we want to wiggle and enrich our body, unfortunately, we've been taught in a Western educational system to try and remain absolutely still at all times. And it's the worst thing for our bodies. We haze our children, and we tell them, no, you must sit still, don't move. And it's the child is responding to a natural intuition in the nervous system. So when it comes to what we should do right now, look at your body as a series of joints that need movement in a circle every day, head to toe, belly to fingertips. So we start with our neck, we move that in 5 circles, we work all the way down and all the way out.
This is starting to come home. I think you're really starting to capture some simple concepts. If you've been tuning in with us, listening to Scott Sonnen, simple concepts that can make a difference as far as your health. We've got a lot more with Scott. Scott is not only a personal trainer, he's the author of the book Free to Move. We're going to be speaking more about his book, Techniques That You Can Use to Improve Your Joint Health and Your Physical Fitness. I'm Dr. David DeRose. Don't go away. More to come.
American Indian Living will continue in a moment. If you have questions or comments about today's pre-recorded broadcast, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673.
America's veterans have served our country in both war and peace.
It's because of people like you that we are free.
My class was learning about war and how hard it is.
I wanted to do something to let them know how I feel.
Now there is a way to thank them for helping keep America free. Log on to thankyouveterans.org and type a personal message of thanks.
Dear Dad, I've recently come to understand how important your service to America was, and I just wanted to say thank you.
There are 26 million veterans living in America today, from World War II to Afghanistan and Iraq.
We carry our experiences inside. It's nice to have someone say thanks.
Let a veteran know you appreciate their service. Log on to thankyouveterans.org, a public service of Paralyzed Veterans of America.
This is the Duchess of York. What's really important in your life? It's your family and your friends. But isn't it also your health? People who are overweight or obese are at a greater risk for illnesses such as cancer. Check your BMI or body mass index. The lower the number, the lower the risk. So lose weight in a healthy way. You'll lower your BMI number. Now, isn't that important? Visit the website of the American Cancer Society at www.cancer.org. You and your family and friends will be glad you did.
Thank you for listening to American Indian Living. If you missed some of the discussion, CD copies of today's show are available. CDs of previous broadcasts are also available. Our email address is AmericanIndianLiving@lifetalk.net. CD requests and comments can also be communicated by phone at 1-800-775-4673. That's 1-800-775-4673. Stay with us for the second half of today's program.
You're listening to a pre-recorded broadcast of American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE, 1-800-775-4673. Here again is your host.
Welcome back to American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. We're speaking today about some really liberating concepts of fitness. The message that we're trying to communicate today is you don't have to knock yourself out, be laid up in bed if you really are doing the optimal workout, spending hundreds of dollars a month. I don't want to say counterintuitive, because many of you come to us with a healthy cultural perspective from Indian country, that you don't have to spend a lot of money to be fit, and you can actually be in touch with yourself, with your environment, with the people around you. But Scott Sonnen has been giving this message throughout the country, throughout the world. He's the author of the book Free to Move. Scott is not only a fitness expert and personal trainer, but he's a very adept communicator of these concepts. Scott, you know, even though you've been doing a great job, really, and you've taught me some things about how to communicate some of these exercises. I'll be honest with you, as a radio show host, I have a lot of people from time to time that want to speak about exercise, fitness subjects, and sometimes I look at their books and I say, I mean, how is this person going to talk about all these activities that you really need to get a visual look at? And I often have quite a degree of skepticism about how well the show is going to come across, but I think you're coming across very well. But you've got something on your website that anyone can tap into that can help further. Tell us about that.
Well, because I'm a kinesthetic learner, I actually need to, one, see it and then do it in order for me to be able to internalize anything. So understanding that there are a multitude of learning styles, not just verbal linguistic, I've placed five videos online for free for people to go and see what the movement is like, because if you reconnect it to it, your nervous system craves it, and it will follow. It will take you down the path on your own. You really don't need any other teacher than your own nervous system. So If you go to my website, it's yourpainfreemobility.com, all one word, yourpainfreemobility.com. If you go there or do a search on my book, Free to Move, if you do a Google search on it, you'll find it. If you go there, just watch the videos, and that will give you an understanding of where you need to be moving again. And usually, it's the movements that most embarrass you. It's the movements that cause you initially the most discomfort and resistance, because those are the areas that are in danger of becoming eventual injuries.
Now, are people in danger of looking at your video and trying to do some of these maneuvers and really harming themselves? Is there that potential?
That's a good question. And The answer is, firstly, you have your own internal barometer. That is, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the worst pain you've ever felt, if you go to a 3, 3 being uncomfortable but not very uncomfortable, you cannot hurt yourself. Mm-hmm. Secondly, since none of the movements that you'll see or read about in the books are based upon external resistance, you're significantly less likely to do anything that could cause yourself injury. So the two of those coupled together, a lack of an external load, lack of a weight, and using the barometer of 3 on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the worst pain you've ever felt, you're not going to get hurt.
Well, I mean, this all begs a big question, Scott. You know, we're speaking about fitness, and I think folks who've been with us from the beginning of the show, they're saying, well, look, at, I mean, a lot of what this guy's saying seems to make sense, you know, getting our joint health back and, you know, kind of getting back to our natural vitality, getting away from the pain, the discomfort, the stiffness, whatever it might be. But they're saying, look, at these guys are trying to make a comparison between what I can get at the gym. I mean, at the gym, they got all these weights. I mean, I go there, I see these, you know, guys with big muscles. They look really healthy and fit. And how is this guy trying to tell me that I can, I mean, this can't be a substitute for a gym workout, is it? I mean, is there really a
valid
comparison?
Question. And we should never try and stifle what we're actually considering, because we do want to look great. We want to resonate with our spouse, with our community. We want to have that vibrant appearance of health because we're healthy, not just because the appearance of it. So when we say it's a substitute, no. What's happened in the gym culture is the gym culture, the appearance of strength has become a substitute for health. It's the other way around. Yes, you can look fantastic, and yes, you can start to load your muscles. How do you do that? Through mobility. Okay, look at a weight. When we look at a weight, we look at it as something that's going to do something to us. We lift that weight, and it's going to cause some kind of adaptation. It's going to change our bodies and give us big, bulging muscles. First of all, can those muscles move? Are they functional? We should never think of, and this is one thing that I'm working with personal trainers when I'm redesigning their certification programs, is we should never think of training muscles. We should only think of training movements. Our body only adapts specifically, so we want to train specific movements. Okay, so we've done our mobility. We got up in the morning. We did our eight minutes of moving each joint. We did circles, 5 to 10 repetitions from head to toe, from our belly to our fingertips. We did 5 circles in each direction. Now, let's add some resistance. And that's the point. Our body is our own gym. We're never gymless. We can add in any weight to the extension of our hands or our legs or our shoulders, but they're only ever extensions. It should be the internal experience of the exercise. We should be aware of what's going on in our movement. We should be aware of where there's small little deviations. Well, that doesn't feel good. Ah, I just work harder. Working harder isn't good for our body. Working smarter is. So let's look at a push-up. If we want to add in resistance of gravity. Now, a traditional push-up actually places great strain on on a couple of our joints. We can change that into a circle. So get back down on the ground, about to do your push-up, and push all the way back like you're squatting, but parallel with the earth. So your elbows are locked out and your butt's back down towards your heels. Now, from there, drive off the balls of your feet and push yourself all the way forward, like you're swooping, hovering above the ground, straight out to where your elbows are tucked in, and you're hovering above the ground, just about to do a press up into elbow lock, and pump back and forth. Now you're working the shoulder in a, semicircular fashion. It's not a full circle. But that rotational value is what increases the strength of the joints, rather than isolating them and stressing them to the point where they eventually give out. It may be a little bit difficult to visualize the movement.
And I'll be honest with you. I mean, some of my listeners may be doing better, but you did lose me on that last illustration. I can't picture it. Is that one of those things that's in the videos, or is this a little too complex?
You can go to the videos and view it, but you can view it just as a squat. Okay, the vertical version of that is a squat. If we squat down and our heels pop off the ground, we're starting to place strain and isolate tension in our knees. If we go as low as we can keep our back, almost vertical, and our heels on the ground when we squat down and stand back up, Now, we're using the entire chain of tissue across our body. So the, just using your own weight, you don't even need to hold anything. You could hold a bag of groceries. You could hold a duffel bag full of sand. You can hold a log. The body doesn't know the difference between types of resistance. It only knows resistance. So you can pick up a barbell, or you can pick up a log, or you can pick up a rock. The body doesn't know any different. So if keeping your heels down, that will guarantee that you're getting 100% of the fitness benefits while keeping the joints healthy, because it's a mobility exercise rather than a short-range isolation of what we think muscle tissue is.
You know, it's interesting that you're mentioning this. One of the problems that I either see or hear a lot more about today, you know, our lower foot problems, plantar fasciitis, heel spurs, I mean, different problems there. And a lot of people who are looking at this more closely are saying just exactly what you're saying. It's a lot of these abnormal movements that adversely impact the bottom of the foot, and by doing some simple things like you mentioned, you know, these squats where your heel is on the ground as well can actually help to restore the health of those tissues. Is that a good practical illustration of what we're speaking
about? It's a perfect
about?
Example. I'll go one step farther with it. Take your shoes off. The foot's designed to be like a bow and arrow bow, so that as you increase the pressure on the bow, it creates stored elastic energy, like stretching a rubber band, and that gives you more impulse to explode upward off the earth and to break gravity. But when we, you know, when we encase our feet in these rubberized coffins, with these shoes, all it does is it creates an artificial surface so that we don't need any tension in our bows. When I work with the NHL, the National Hockey League, I was called in by the New Jersey Devils to work with them because of the ankle injuries they face, because they're locked in these skates, and that is causing tons and tons of knee injuries. The reason is because the lack of foot strength. So we actually have to take their skates off and have them increase that stored elastic energy, flexing the bow, loading that so that it can explode upwards, and that increases how much drive you get off the floor. When I went to Germany last year to work with their national powerlifters, we had to work on the fact that we gained 20% on their deadlifts. Now, these are people who do it as a sport, right? We increased their lifts by 20% by taking their shoes off and restoring, doing foot mobility drills. 20% is a huge margin. If we look
so
at
these are guys that are picking a weight off the ground. They're standing on their feet and lifting this up. Is this what you're explaining to us?
Right. They take a weight as heavy as they can lift, and they pull it off the ground until their knees are locked. Right?
Okay.
20% of our power is robbed by putting shoes on. Now, you can't go to a health club and pop off your shoes. They don't like that. However, you can do that at home. You can do it out in the grass. You can do it inside your home. That is giving you your own intuition. At the beginning, it sounds like it's counterintuitive, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's what we're currently doing in the fitness industry, because we've monetized our health. That's what's counterintuitive, isolating this concept of muscle. But the, you know, I don't know, when the way I was taught in anatomy and physiology is that there are hundreds of muscles throughout the body, and I have, how am I going to train them all, right? But our understanding in modern science with biomechanics and biotensegrity is that there's only one muscle in the entire body. It has hundreds of insertion points or attachments, and that's what we should be training, movements, not muscles.
That's an interesting concept. Well, let me ask you this, Scott, because one of the things you're saying, I know there's some of the listeners are saying, well, you know, but what about, you know, all this that's going behind orthotics and, you know, different, you know, you go to, even go to a drugstore and they've got all these inserts for, you know, your shoe. They got things you put on your wrist, you know, your back belts and all. It seems like we've gotten into a culture that also when it comes to mobility, health, fitness, and pain avoidance, people are telling us, well, really, you're messed up. You need devices. You don't want to be just in your natural state with your shoes off or with no, you know, back belt on because, you know, you need help. How do you deal with that kind of mentality?
Well, One, we're facing an institution. We're facing you have to follow the money. When you look at insurance companies and you look at medical responses, you have to follow the money. But we have to go back to our natural roots of why didn't we need that 100 years ago? Once you answer that question, everything becomes apparent.
Profound question. We've got more with Scott Sunnan. We are going to be taking a final look at some very practical things you can do to revolutionize your workout to get more fit, and it's not going to cost you an arm and a leg. Don't go away. Our last segment is coming up. I'm Dr. DeRose.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
Today's American Indian Living radio program is sponsored in part by the Lifestyle Center of America. Located in South Central Oklahoma, the Lifestyle Center provides a variety of health services in Indian country, including residential diabetes treatment programs and their Wellspring DVD series, a prepackaged diabetes program suitable for home, workplace, or community center and used by people of all races. Further information about the center is available at lifestylecenter.org or by phone at 800-596-5480. American Indian Living is also sponsored in part by the Native Education and Health Initiative, known as NAHAI, a nonprofit organization established by Native Americans for Native Americans. In addition to sponsoring American Indian Living, NAHAI produces a health publication and has initiated a series of programs to combat diabetes. Further information about NAHAI is available at nahaicharity.org.
Canned vegetables, canned vegetables. Bring them over here.
Hey, Duncan, get over here. Need you to stay with me and your brother, okay?
I am.
Well, closer. Come on, help me out here, buddy. Excuse me. Duncan, you're blocking me out.
I want some bologna.
Not today.
But I want them.
Sorry. Duncan!
I want to put the number thing.
Too bad.
Mommy would let me.
Yeah, well, she's not here, okay? She's gone, and she's not coming back, and you're just going to have to deal with it like the rest of us, okay? Duncan.
On May 29th, Michelle Jimenez was killed by a drunk driver. She left behind her husband and four children. Drinking and driving is a crime that kills abruptly, but the pain lasts forever. Friends don't let friends drive drunk. A message from the U.S. Department of Transportation, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to a pre-recorded broadcast of American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE, 1-800-775-4673. Here again is your host.
Welcome to our final installment of today's edition of American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. We're speaking with an American success story. Scott Sunnan is someone you would not have thought to ever become a spokesperson for exercise and fitness, let alone have become very fit. If you were with us from the beginning of the show, Scott shared with us some of those early challenges he had in life that forced him to really tap into different approaches to exercise. He's now educating us and people throughout the world how to really be free to move. That's the title of his book that we've been mentioning, Free to Move. Scott, you are not just getting a message out there through radio, television appearances, out there in public, but you've got a website that is loaded with all kinds of practical information. Tell us again about that.
Sure, David. It's yourpainfreemobility.com, all one word, yourpainfreemobility.com. And on there, because there are other people like me, I to get through college, I actually had to sleep on a park bench and eat ramen noodles most of the time. So I couldn't afford extra resources, and sometimes I had to borrow books. So I put on 5 free videos that will give an example of all of the movements that you would ever need. If you follow that direction, then really that's self-sufficient. If you go to that website, you'll find them.
Well, that's amazing. So basically what you're telling us is we can get on a better path to fitness and health simply with a bunch of free videos that are on the Internet. This seems too good to be true, because most people are always trying to sell us something when they're speaking about health.
Well, I am trying to sell all of your listeners something. I'm trying to sell all of you that you're 100% more confident than you think you are. You're so much more available to tap into your natural potential than we're told that we are by the media. You just have to not lose that pinhole of hope. When you become obese, it takes time, and it takes time to do the opposite. Then you lose, and especially when you're in pain, because there were many times that I was locked in a corset of pain and agony that any little movement would just cause sharp ripples up through my entire body. When you're in that position, it's really hard to imagine that it will stop. It's really hard to imagine that the pain will abolish, right? So you just can't lose that pinhole of hope. And even if it's just tendonitis in your elbow, or a neck stinger, or bursitis in your shoulder, or carpal tunnel syndrome in your wrist, all of these small—I shouldn't demean it—but all of these small pains, we imagine, oh, I'm just going to have to live with that, or we'll take anti-inflammatories and we'll remove the sensation of pain, because we can't imagine that life's going to be different. But it can. You can resolve it. You just have to change and take a step backwards in your health, to not try and look great first, to feel great first. And if you do that, you'll never lose hope. You'll always go forward. And that's what really, for me, it's a labor of love. If I can sell you on that point, if I can keep you hoping that there is resolution to this, that you can look great just by feeling great, then that's the message I'm trying to get across.
Scott Sonnen, his name is spelled S-O-N-N-O-N if you're trying to run a search on Scott. And again, that website is your painfreemobility.com. Scott, as we're speaking about these very practical, simple things, you mentioned some examples here that I know a lot of people are saying, you know, you mentioned the elbow pain, or you mentioned the bursitis in the shoulder, the carpal tunnel. Can you walk us through, I mean, even some of these relatively common problems? I mean, are there solutions other than having a surgery for carpal tunnel, or, you know, wearing the brace for the tennis elbow? I mean, do you have something as far as exercise that can actually help these problems?
In most cases, David, in most cases, it's 100% reversible, the pain and the injury. All of the movements will prevent that from happening. Like if you look at arthritis, osteoarthritis, they're like little stalactites and stalagmites in a cave. And as you move into them, it's like taking that knife and jutting into your body, and you get that sharp pain. I have where my arm was shattered. I still have to fight off osteoarthritis every morning. So, well, you have to smooth off that bony profile, and you have to grind down those little stalactites and stalagmites. But because of pain avoidance, because of anti-inflams and painkillers, we don't ever do that. So what happens? It progresses, and it gets worse, and the stalactites and stalagmites get bigger and bigger and bigger. Yes, you can abate it. With tendonitis is like when you exercise too fast, too hard, too heavy, too often, or if you stay in one position, like typing, for too long. If you hold that position long enough, the body tries to adapt to it, but because of the strain, there's little micro tears, little fraying like cotton candy around our connective tissue. The glue for that is movement and the lubricant. So as you pull those little frayed fibers down by completing circles with your elbow, right? If you hold your upper arm parallel to the ground, point your thumb towards your nose like you're hitchhiking, then turn your thumb to the outside and then all the way back the opposite direction from you, and then complete circles. And it should be to extension under tension. You're trying to go under tension to full elbow lock and do a circle with your elbow. You can pull down those frayed fibers, and that's how you can not only reverse tendonitis, but also prevent it so it won't happen next time. You can decompress your elbow so that when you do grab a hold of something, it's not on a compressed joint, and you won't suffer that injury.
So really what you're saying is a lot of this wear and tear on the joints that leads to what we call osteoarthritis, or this degenerative joint disease, can be avoided if we just really improve the health of the cartilage, the cushioning, the tendons around the joint, and movement is the prescription, if you will, that you're giving us.
Right. I would even say the poison is the antidote. We actually need to move into discomfort, not pain, but discomfort. We if we only move to a point where it doesn't cause us any trouble, that's only what the way we've been moving. Mm-hmm. We actually have to improve the range. So we have to use this a barometer of, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the worst pain we've ever felt, go to a 3. You should be uncomfortable. Move into that. Mm-hmm. As long as you don't feel pins and needles, if you don't feel any little numbness at your fingers or in your toes or down your legs or down mm-hmm. your arms, as long as you don't feel that, if you do feel it, just back off slightly until you don't mm-hmm. feel it anymore, because you can challenge the tissues, but you can't challenge the nerves. And then complete those circles. Even with running. Running seems like the most natural activity to do. But because we place time and internal expectations of, I have to run really fast, rather than bouncing, loping, galloping off the earth, that mm-hmm. natural absorption in the hips and the knees, that's what makes it a mobility drill rather than some type of sportive intent. You shouldn't be running with intent. You should be running with awareness. And that's really the primary shift of making every exercise a healthy one rather than just a fit one. Because in this culture, we've become so fit that we can kill ourselves with it. And there was just an article published in the New York Times on this. One particular health system, I don't need to name it, claimed that the founder of it said, I never denied that this could kill you, but you will be fit. Are you really? Fitness at the expense of health is something that has never existed on the planet before. Every indigenous culture understands this. So we have to shift our focus back to the way we used to do things and use a modern understanding of how to sustain them.
Well, let's speak about a practical example, you know, indigenous cultures, type of activities they did. And I know we're you know, the clock is running very rapidly, it seems, right now. But, Scott, you mentioned running. And, you know, these variety of motions that are desirable. How about the whole issue? You know, some people say, you know, you're better off running through the woods, running on the beach, running on some natural surface. Other people say, well, you know, it's uneven. This is, you know, we're speaking for someone, you know, in the prime of life. They're healthy. They're not debilitated. Is there a better place to run?
If it's an even surface, where's the best place to run? The gym. They're trying to get you to the gym. They really are. They're just used car salesmen. Every place outdoors has an uneven terrain, which is what our body's designed to run on. There are little sensors in our body, the proprioceptors, mechanoreceptors. They basically give us balance. They give us equilibrium. And by knowing and sensing where to move, different tissues act, because it's not movement. It's not muscles. It's movement. So as you change the terrain, what happens? Body must operate in balance, and that's really the focus of it. Take your shoes off, get outside, play with your kids. This is really our focus for becoming healthily fit.
Scott, this is a tremendous message. It's a liberating message. If you've been shying away from a fitness program because you thought it had to hurt you, you thought it had to cost a lot of money, thought it had to take a lot of time, Scott, you've really given us a powerful antidote. One sentence, can you summarize a key message for our listeners today?
Freedom to move is something that you have right now. You don't have to pay anyone for it. It's available.
Thanks so much. That's Scott Sunnan. He is the author of the book, Free to Move. Free videos at his website. Check them out, yourpainfreemobility.com. I'm Dr. David DeRose. For all of us at American Indian Living, we're wishing you the very best of health.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.